It's where I find my peace, right here. Oh, Satan, make sure you're not where you're supposed to be. But tonight, I want to preach you a title tonight. I don't want to glorify nothing but Christ Jesus. And I want you to know this, that we must have love one for another. No matter what goes on in your life, what you've got going on, we must have love one for another. No matter what you've been through, what you've had going on, you've got to have love one for another. And I want to preach tonight a few little points here tonight that I've experienced in my life in the last 51 days. And it's made me have love for people like never before. It's made me have compassion. It's made me be able to pray for people that has been to the doctor and had doctor reports. It's made me learn how to pray, learn how to love, and learn what God would call me to do. If you have a copy of God's Word tonight, I would ask you to turn to Galatians chapter number 2 and verse number 20 tonight. I want to read one verse. I'll be all over the New Testament just a little bit there tonight. But I want to preach having a love for others. Having a love for others. I'm going to ask you tonight, do you have love for others? Having love for folks is going to be a key in your life. If you don't love people, you're lost, headed to hell. The Bible says that they shall know that you're my disciples if you have love one for another. You don't always have to like them. Amen? But you do have to love them. If you have a copy of God's Word, I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's Word tonight. Galatians chapter number 2 and verse number 20. If you find your place, say amen. Amen. The Bible says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Let us pray. Heavenly Father God, as I bow in your presence tonight, I love you, I praise you, I glorify you tonight. Father, I thank you tonight that you have allowed me to get behind this sacred desk. I thank you tonight that you've given me the strength. You've given me the energy, you've given me the willpower, but most of all, you've gave me unction from heaven, Father. Lord, tonight, as I sit over there tonight, Lord God, you just beating on my heart tonight to share this tonight. And Lord, I pray tonight that you just use it in a mighty way. Lord, I know, as Brother Jake spoke Wednesday night, Father, this place around here lately has a heaviness on it, Father. And Lord God, no matter how heavy it gets, no matter the load we tote, no matter what we go through tonight, Father, we still got to have love and compassion for our brothers and our sisters and our neighbors and those that are out in the world. Lord, I pray tonight that you guard my throat, guard my thoughts. Lord, I pray you illuminate my mind, loosen my tongue. Let me preach, thus saith the word of God. Lord, I'm in over my head tonight, Father, and I'm relying on the Holy Ghost tonight to preach. I'm relying on the Holy Ghost tonight to speak to people's hearts. Lord, I pray tonight that you search everybody and you search me real good tonight. Father, I love you and I praise you. It's in Jesus' most holy, precious name. And all of God's people said, amen. You may be seated tonight. Tonight as we come to Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 20 tonight, we see that Paul, here he comes, and he says that he has been crucified with Christ, and nevertheless he lived. He said, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And you say, preacher, what does that have to do with anything in my life? When you realize that you've been crucified and you've been crucified with Christ Jesus, the old man's been put to death, and there's a new man on the scene. The Holy Spirit, he comes and he lives inside of you. He dwells inside of you. He is your the unction that you have tonight. And when that Holy Spirit comes inside of you, you gain a love for other people. You gain a love like never before. You gain a love for them people. And you say, preacher, how did Paul gain that love for people? How do you gain that love? Can I say tonight, number one, that problems that come your way, it'll make you gain love for people. Problems, people, preaching, all these things make you gain love for people when you hear it. But tonight, Paul gained love for others after he had been broken. After he had been broken, he gained love for others. If you've never been broken, you don't know how to love somebody. I say this tonight, when you've had a broken heart, you know how to love somebody tonight. And Paul comes here, he said that he had been crucified with Christ. That means the old Paul, the old man, had been crucified. He had been laid down, no longer to live, no longer to come up, no longer to stick his head up. He says here in verse number 20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. He said, I'm dead. That old man you used to know, ago. I am dead. I'm no longer there. But guess what? He said, I might have been broken. I might be dead. But I am alive like never before. I'm better than I've ever been. Friends, can I say to you tonight, when you've been crucified with Christ, and you've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, you ain't the same person that you used to be. How can I get an amen? Hey, you've been set free. You've been new. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. He gets to use you at His will the way that He wants to use you. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. He said, Christ lives down inside of me. He has broken me. He has showed me what I need in my life. He said, in the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. You say, preacher, tonight, I live by sight. Of what I see, I believe in. You're the most miserable Christian I know tonight. You can't live by sight, but you got to live by faith. Hey, when that situation don't look right and you don't know what you're going to do and you don't know if you're going to come out on the other end, you got to have faith to say, I believe in God. I trust in God, Brother Garrett. I'm not giving up. I'm not giving in. I'm going to stick with the stuff because I know that my God will deliver me. Can to get an amen. Friends, I want you to know, laying over there in Tupelo, Mississippi, and after everybody had left the room and nobody was there, it was just me and my wife. My daughter done went home. My son done went home. My mom and my sisters, everybody done went home. That reality set in. And you're talking about a man that was broke down and broken laying there. Friends, I was laying there in that bed and I didn't know what to do. I said, 45-year-old, how in the world have I gotten this mess? How in the world have I got myself here? Or what am I going to do now? And as I laid in that room, she turned that light on over my head just so I could see a little bit. Y'all know I'm scared of the dark. Can I get an amen? Hey, I don't like the darkness. I like the light. And as I laid there in that bed, I've done said this many a time, but the sweet Holy Ghost of heaven, it said, can I trust you? Can I trust you in this process? And as I laid there in that bed, I said, yes, you can trust me. And He said, here's what I want you to do. You're going to be broken for a moment. You're going to be broke down for a little bit. You're going to have to get on the sideline. You're going to have to sit down. You're going to have to let Jake Gunner have Wednesday nights. You're going to have Riley Cagle on Sunday mornings. You're going to have Hagen Scott. You're going to have Brother Bradley. You're going to have all these men that's going to have to take your place. But you got to trust me through the process. You're going to have to sit down. I'm going to have to break you to show you what you need to do in your life. And as I laid there in that bed, folks, listen to me. He said, I don't want you to complain one bit. All you've done for 12 years is told everybody how good I am and how I will deliver you and how I'll set you free. I don't want to hear one complaint. Can I trust you in that? Friends, I want you to know I was scared to death, but I answered the best I know how. And I said, you can trust me. Hey, not only do I trust God, but can God trust me to do what He has called me to do? As I laid there in that bed, I want you to know I was a man broken. I didn't know what to do or where to go, but I knew that the life that I live now, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and died for me. Amen. And I was broken laying there, I'm telling you. And as I went in that morning for surgery, they were supposed to got me at 6:30, and that little boy knocked on the door about 5 o'clock, and I said, Lord Jesus, he's early already. And he said, are you ready to go? You're going to be the first patient. You're going to be the first one to go. And they got willing me down that hall, and as they got me back there, I want you to know God started lining it up. He started putting people in my path, people that would pray, people that would lift me up, and they just kept on and on and on and on and on. And I want you to know I was broken at that moment in my life, but I've never seen more clear than I do now. Listen, if you're afraid to be broken, you're never going to be where God would have you to be. Until you get broken, you can't be what God has called you to be. Until you get broken, you can't be saved. You got to realize you're a sinner before you can ever be saved. You hear preachers all the time, well, you need to confess your sin. Listen to me tonight. When you get saved, it ain't about confessing your sin. It's about you confessing you're a sinner and He's the Savior. It's confessing that you're filthy, you're dirty, you're undone, and you need God to fix you. You're broken and your chains need to be broken off your life. It's not about the sin in your life. It's that you're a sinner. And you're in need of a Savior. And you call on His name. Friends, I couldn't list all the sin in my life. I would forget it. But I didn't know this. I knew I was a sinner. I knew I needed to be crucified with Christ. I knew I needed that old man to die and a new man to come on the scene. And here Paul said, I want you to know something. He said, I've been broken, but I've been blessed. Amen? Anybody in this room will tell you, if you've ever went through a spot in your life that you were broken, and you're a child of God, you've come out blessed on the other end. If you've been broke, listen, He uses broken pieces to help us. He uses broken pieces to help us. But I don't only see that when you're broken, for I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I live now, I live by faith. I live by faith. So many Christians don't even live by faith. They live by what their checking account says. They live by what they live in, what they drive. They don't live by faith. Faith is when you're laying there and putting your faith in God, say, God, you get me through this. Man, that's faith. Man, that's faith. I want to ask you tonight, where's your faith at tonight? I'm talking about a faith, a mountain-moving faith, a faith that'll move the master, that he'll see you and say, I'll have favor on you, not because of who you are, but because of whose you are. Man, I'm telling you tonight, I pour my heart out to you. Love folks, man, no matter what goes on in your life, you love folks, even when you've been broken. He breaks you that you might be able to love. Let me show you something else in the text. He breaks you that you might be able to love like you've never had before. But not only that, but Paul gained love for others after being broken, but Paul also gained love for others after he had been beaten. After he had been beaten. Boy, you don't hear that in Christianity much. Have you ever took a beating? Man, I'm telling you what, the greatest, man, I'm telling you what, is that this world will cripple you. This world will make you disabled and you ain't even disabled. They'll put you on disability and you good to go. Now, old timers, they probably is disabled, but they'll disable you. They'll give you everything you need to cripple you to make you disabled. When they walked into that room, man, I looked like I'd been beaten. I knew I'd been broken. I knew I'd been cut open. But man, they walked in there and they had a walker, they had wheelchairs, they had everything. And that guy walked in, he said, you got to walk. I said, I'm not walking with that. He said, why not? I said, I've had surgery. I'm not disabled. He said, well, you got to walk with that walker. I got to walk beside you. I said, well, come on, get beside me. I told Brandy, I said, you grab my other hand. Folks, listen to me tonight. A lot of Christians, listen to me. They're living like they're disabled. And all they are, they're broken and beaten just a little bit, but they act like they're disabled. They sit on the pew. They don't do nothing. They don't say nothing. They don't pray. They just go to church. They don't even get in the game. Come on, talk to me, somebody. And he said, well, what are you going to do? I said, well, I'm going to walk down that hall. Me and Herb, we got that pillow down that hall. We went, Brother Harold, went down there where we're supposed to got, turn around, come back. I said, what I need to do with that walker now? There it lays. He said, hang your clothes on it, do something. Evidently, you don't need it. But I could have used it. Tonight, what crutch are you using that you don't need? What are you using tonight that you don't need? Let me give you this tonight, if you'll be with me, at Acts chapter number 14. Man, this is, I just love being up here and what God is speaking to me right now in my heart. Acts chapter number 14. Let me show you this. He gained love for others after being beaten. Not only had he been broken, but he had been beaten and he gained a love for others. Acts chapter number 14. I want to show you this in the text tonight. Acts chapter number 14 and verse number 19 tonight. They had started stoning old Paul, but that didn't stop Paul. It only stirred him deeper. He'd been broken and he'd been beaten, but he still had a love for people and wanted to share that gospel. And as we look at this tonight in Acts chapter number 14 and verse number 19, the Bible says, and there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, what did they do? He'd been beaten. They had stoned him. They drew him out of the city. Supposing he had been dead. But Charles, a lot of folks thought you was going to be dead. Gave up on you. Throwed the towel in. But we still here. We still here. Praise God, hallelujah. I'm going to tell it to the day I die. Supposing he had been dead. Look what happened. Howbeit. You know what howbeit means? That means glory to God. Glory to God. If he wouldn't have stepped in, I'd have been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, sometimes in your life, when you have been beaten and you've been broken, you just need somebody to stand beside you, not say a word, just get in your corner. You don't need no input. You don't need their... Man, I can't... My mouth's a little loose, Brother Jakey. I'm sorry. I just can't help it, man. I don't know what they got me on, but I y'all know what I'm talking about? 9 pills, I don't even look at the bottle. She fills them up, and I just take them. I said, make sure I'm passing drug tests. No, I'm playing. Listen, I'm playing with y'all. Loosen up a little bit. Y'all act like y'all at a funeral or something. Y'all act like I'm going to die up here or something. Loosen up a little bit now. And listen to this. Listen to this. There's times in your life when you've been broken, Sister Patsy, and you've been beaten. You don't need nobody to run their mouth. You don't need them to tell them, I tell you what I'd do. You don't need that. All you need them to do is shut up, come up beside you, and just be there. Be a presence. You need them to show up when you need them. You just need them. You don't need them to say nothing. You just need them to show up. I got back there. I was back there in that room. And I'd been broken. I'd been beaten. And I felt like I was about to go down. I was laying in that room. And they said, we got you a room, but it's going to be a little bit. Police everywhere, y'all. Police everywhere. They're looking for somebody. And that little girl said, it's going to be a while before we move you to another room, probably about 3 or 4 hours. Good gracious. She said, can I get you anything, Mr. Mills? I thought, here's my chance. I said, you sure can. I said, I got a little 5'1 black-headed wife out there. I love that woman dearly. And I said, I ain't seen her since 8 o'clock this morning. It's like, I don't know, 8:25. You don't know how much you love them, you don't think you're going to see them again. And I said, you think she can come back here and sit with me in this ICU? You think that's possible? She said, yeah, you done dismissed. Let me go get her. So she walked in that room. We held hands there like a bunch of young kids in love. And we are in love. We used to be the hottest couple. Now we're just the happiest couple. And boy, I just sat there and held her and she held me. She said, preacher, why was that? What did y'all talk about? We didn't say very much at all. We just held one another. Love one another. Can I say when you've been broken and you've been beaten, sometimes you just need somebody just to hold you. That physical touch that you know everything's going to be all right. Said that howbeit they just got around him. Somebody in this room tonight, you just need somebody to come around you, put an arm around you, love on you. Don't know what you're going through, but you just need that encouragement. Not only when you've been broken, not only when you've been beaten, but you got to love folks even when you've been bitten. Listen to me. There ain't a person in this room ain't been bit. Everybody loves everybody tonight. It ain't Monday yet. You ain't went to work yet. You ain't clocked in at Spiritual Trust yet at 5 a.m. And you still got to be smiley and happy. And you sure ain't clocked in at McDaniel's. Amen. But even when you've been bitten, God spoke this to me. You know how bitter I got laying there? Brother Charles called me. I got home on a Tuesday. He called me and said, we're going out to eat Friday night. I said, nah, ain't happening. But you know what I told him? I said, yeah, we'll go out to eat. He said, where you want to go? He said, we're going to Tupelo. Man, I ain't been home just a few days. Said, I'll meet you in Tupelo at 5 o'clock. You know what happened about 3:30? I called Brother Charles. I said, Brother Charles, see, I've been bitten. Been hurt. I didn't know what to do, Sister Patsy. Never been there. And I called my brother and I made up a lie. I was bitter. Why me, Lord? And every time he'd say, why not you? Lord, why am I going? Why not you? Who do you think you are? I told Brother Charles, I said, man, I hate this, but I ain't going to be able to go. I just ain't up to it. I don't feel good. Brother Charles said, okay. He said, but let me ask you a question. I thought he was going to ask, can I get you something? He said, is that really what's going on? Or are you just scared? I said, man, I'm just scared to get out. People person. Love people. The devil had me isolated in that recliner. Didn't want to get out around people. Been bitten. Been beaten. Been broken. Brother Charles said, I'll meet you at 5 o'clock. He hung up the phone. I told Kaylee, I said, I don't know if I'm going to go or not. I said, Daddy, that ain't you. You're going to get your clothes on. You got to get out of that chair. Thank God, Brother Charles. I don't know what I'd done if I kept laying there. He said, preacher, what do you do when you've been bitten? You got to shake it off. You just got to shake it off. You just got to shake it off. You just got to shake it off. You can't let it on. You got to get it off of you. You got to get it off of you. He's going to send people like Charles Coburn to call your phone and say, we're going to eat. He's going to send people your way. It may not be Charles, but you're going to know when it comes in. You're going to know when you're in that place and somebody's trying to show you love. You're going to know that. And you're going to have to understand that God's using them. The Holy Ghost is prompting them to call your phone, get you out of your pity party, get you out of that bitterness, and get you back on the road you need to be on. What do you do when you've been bitten? You shake it off. Paul had been broken. Paul had been beaten. and Paul had been bitten. Turn with me, if you will, to Acts chapter number 28. I'm talking to somebody tonight that right now you may be in bitterness and you need to have love for one another. And you get to that place and you have that tonight that he had been bitten. Acts chapter number 28 and verse number 3. Let me show you this tonight. Acts chapter number 28 and verse number 3. I want to show you this tonight. When you've been bitten and you know you've been bitten and you don't know what to do. You say, preacher, what do I do? What do I do? Do I give up? Do I cower down? Do I just quit? No, you don't. God's got you. Look in Acts 28 verse 1. And when they were escaped, that they knew that the island was called Malta, and the barbarous people showed us no little kindness. For they kindled a fire. That means they loved us. They helped us. And received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came out a viper, or they came out a snake. They came out a snake. Man of God, woman of God, a snake will get you. You are not, I don't even know what I'm trying to say, but you're not, you can be bit. Just because you're saved don't mean that you won't be bitten. Just because you're a man of God or a woman of God or you're a daddy that loves the Lord don't mean you ain't going to get bitten. Brother Garrett, if you've never been bitten, it's coming, son. I hate to tell you that. Brother Riley, it's coming, and Satan's going to make sure that you get bitten. And what are you going to do with it? God will raise you up if you'll let him. I'm talking to people that gets bitten and they don't know what to do. They quit. They lay down. They stop. Listen to me tonight. I understand. I know now. But when you've been bitten, and when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and he fastened his head on them. He beat him. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hanging on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer. All them people that loved him, now they said, I don't know if that's a man of God or not. He's been bitten. You can't help but be bitten. You can't help but get bit. But what you going to do with it? What you going to do with it? Churches are full of bitter Christians because they've been broken, they've been beaten, and they've been bitten, and they don't shake it off. You know what it does? It corrupts the whole church. It corrupts the whole church. You get one person that's got a little bitterness in them, it corrupts the whole church. Let me tell you, Brother Jake. Let me say, I'm on overtime right now. Let me tell you, Brother Jake. They took my Debbie cakes away. Little Debbie, son, I know they hurting. They probably going to cut some hands up there in Tennessee because we ain't been eating. You taking the slack? Son, I be eating like 2 or 3 boxes a day. Y'all think I'm kidding. I get on a little Debbie kick, son. I be eating them. You guys, Brandy. I say, man, that zebra cake. Just give me another. But they took me away, Jake. Took me away from sugar, but I can have all the fruit I want. And I've learned something. That fruit, we buy apples, and we buy Granny Smith green apples. They've got a little, they're good. They're just good. And we buy bananas, strawberries, just whatever. And I watch Brandy. She'll come in there. I got a basket there. I have 4 or 5. The ladies' ministry gave us a basket, and we just keep filling it back up. We're just putting fruit in it, eating it. I watch Brandy. She'll come by, and she'll look at them. She'll throw that in the garbage. What's wrong with that thing? She's got a rotten spot. I said, well, what? She said, if you leave it in there, it's just going to mess up the other one. If you leave that rotten, that thing's done got, it's done been, it's bruised. Somebody talk to me tonight. Y'all just come to church. Y'all didn't come to have church. Y'all just come. Y'all didn't come to have church. I know. If you come to have church, you'd be knowing what I'm talking about right now. That thing had been beaten. May have got dropped. Bruised it. Started getting rotten. Might have been something, might have bit it at the store. We didn't know about it. Brought it home. Got rotten. What do you do with it, preacher? I take my knife sometimes when there ain't but one left. A lot of Christians could use this. I take my knife, cut that old rotten spot out, get that spot that's beaten and brown and bruised, get it out of there, throw it away, trim off what ain't no count, eat what needs to be eaten. Paul said that if you've been bitten, just shake it off. Get it off of you. I'm talking to somebody tonight. I know I am. God ain't gave me this word for somebody not to get this tonight. You have been, you're at a place right now, you say, preacher, I don't know what to do. I'm going to give you this. I wrote this down and share this with you. I'm talking about fruit. I'm talking about knowing what you got. When you, here's what he said. Verse number 5. And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. What did he do? He shook it off. He'd been bitten, but he shook it off. I wrote this down. When you're on fire for God, listen to me. If you got any position in this church, please listen. If you're a pew sitter, that's a position. Amen? When you on fire for God, just remember the old snake, Satan himself, is close by. When you're on fire. Now, when you're burning for all to see, and you, man, you think you're running wide open for the Lord, just remember old Satan's on your heels. Paul had done everything he knew to do. He had been broken, he had been beaten, and he'd been bitten. But that's okay. My God's closer. The Bible says the snake fastened, took hold, will not let go. You must shake it off, literally shake it off. And if you're going to love, folks, I'm just going to give you something right here that's going to blow your mind. Attack of Satan. Never. Say this with me. Never. Never. Expect the same love back that you have given away. Listen to me again real closely. It's an attack of the enemy. It's an attack of the enemy. When you've been beaten, you've been broken, and you've been bitten, the enemy will put that in your mind. I wrote that down. I've got that wrote on 5 or 6 different pages. Never, say it with me, never expect the same love back that you have given away. Just love folks anyway. Now, if you're loving somebody to get that back, you're doing it for the wrong reason. Paul loved everybody he come in contact with. He loved them. He shared the gospel with them. Even though he'd been beaten, he loved them. Even though he had been broken, he still loved them. They beat him and he still preached Jesus. And even though he had been bitten and they said, he's a murderer. Then they come back and call him a god. He still loved them. Paul gained love for others by being broken, by being bitten, by being beaten. But Paul had a love for others because he was just a believer. Just a believer. Just a believer. I ask you tonight, are you a believer? Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Are you sure? Do you have confidence in that? You say, preacher, how can I know? I'll give you it. I'll give you how you can know if you believe in Jesus Christ. John 13:35, the Bible says this. The Bible says, not a different denomination, not theology, the Bible. Ain't you glad the Bible says it? John 13:35, the Bible says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. By this. Not by how loud you pray or how loud you preach. Not by how what you wear or what you do. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have love one to another. You love one another. 1 John 4:11, the Bible says, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also love one another. 1 John 3:11, the Bible says, for this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. That you should love one another. No matter how broke you are tonight, no matter how beat down you find yourself, no matter how many times you get bitten, as a believer in Jesus Christ, we must love one another. After we had got home and all the dust had settled and everything was going good, me and Brandy was sitting there one day and I told her, I said, you remember them two little girls over there in ICU, them three little girls in ICU? She said, yeah. And they know their names. I said, you remember them three little girls? And she said, yeah. They come to the room, checked on you. You know what I'm talking about, brother. It's good, good girls, good girls. Good girls. They took good care of you. I said, I'd like to go back and see them. Took good care of him, Brother Eric. Took good care of him. I didn't like being in ICU, but you get good care in ICU. Gave me morphine. It didn't work because I've been delivered. Wouldn't work. Gave me Dilaudid. Wouldn't work like it should because I've been delivered. Don't have a hold on my body. So they gave me liquid Motrin, ibuprofen. And it worked. Ain't that a God thing? Just little God winks everywhere through it. But I said, I want to go back to that hospital. I want to go back to the place where I was broken. Brother Austin, we've all been there. Different. It can be heart, physical heart, spiritual heart, drugs, whatever breaks you, you've been there. And I said, I want to go back to where I was broken. I want to go back to where I felt like the old devil had beat me down. Tell you, Brother Charles, you know I'm telling you the truth, brother. You know. Brother Harold, you know I'm telling you the truth. Till you laid there. And you in that room. And you prayed with that church member in that same room, that holding room. And then a couple days later, they died and didn't make it from the same double bypass. Oh, Satan whispering in your ear. You remember this room? You remember the person that laid here that went to your church that didn't make it and you had to preach their funeral? He does that. He wars the mind. I said, I want to go back to that place where I was bitten. I want to go back. We got back over there, and she said, where are you going to park? I said, I want to park at the very bottom and walk all the way up. Because before, when I go visit somebody, I get winded the time I got up there. I tell her, I said, you got to slow down. She's like, well, come on. Not knowing anything was wrong. So I got down there with Zach at the very bottom, parked all the way down there. I'm talking about, you know what I'm saying? Way off down yonder. And I got out, and I had my walking shoes on. And up through there we went. And I got up there to the top, and I said, I ain't winded a bit. He said, where'd you go, preacher? I wanted to go back to that spot. And I wanted to tell old Satan, get behind me in Jesus' name. What you meant for evil, God meant for good. What I thought I didn't know I'd walk out of, God walked me out of it. But that day I was laying on that bed that Thursday night, and he told me not to complain. That let me know something right there before I ever went to surgery that I was going to come out on the other side. And I'm telling somebody tonight, don't you be complaining. Just keep loving folks the way you should because you're going to come out on the other side. I love Case and Ice. My wife and them, they buy me one every year. Father's Day, Christmas, you know the story. I get one. They'll put something on it. Love you, Daddy. Something like that all the time. They got me this one. Get my apple off of it. Numbers 11:1. And on that knife, it's got a cross, squiggly lines for a heartbeat, and a heart on the other side. See, preacher, what does that mean to you? I got no reason to complain. He's been better than good to me. I want to ask you tonight, what's keeping you from doing what you're supposed to do for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Is it that you're in here tonight and you got bitterness because there's been a time in your life that you felt like you've been beaten out of something, been beaten? Maybe you've been broken. You got a relationship that's been broken that's never been put back together. You never tried to make it right. Or maybe you've been bitten. You say, preacher, I don't know if I can get over it or not. You'll have to get over it or you'll get under it and the load will be too heavy. Pick your choice. But you'll either have to get over it or get under it. Can I say to you tonight, if you're a believer, I'd be making sure I had things right. If you're in here tonight and you don't know Jesus, I ask you to come know Jesus. If you're in here tonight and you got anything going on in your life, I'm going to ask you here in just a moment to get this altar. Get this place. Man, I thought I was invincible. I'm not lying. But Kevin, that's how I lived. I lived that way. In a moment, that quick. And I know it won't affect you like it affect me because it ain't you. And what happens, you won't affect me like it did you because it ain't me. But if I could ever get you to understand how quick things can turn. But Charles, how quick it can turn. Make sure you're ready when it's your turn. Make sure you've got nothing. You've got no regrets. You've got no holdback. You've got no regards. That you're ready. Be my prayer tonight that we just love one another. As the musicians come tonight, let us pray.